Hello, folks. Off-Grid Gary. Today is Sunday, July 24th, and it is 10:37 in the morning. We've been discussing in the previous shows about prepping and how to prep, what supplies to prep for, this kind of thing. Well, today we're going to be on the same page as the prepping thing, and we're going to turn the page and go at it from another direction. All of you who know me know we live off-grid. We have an off-grid home. It is 100% powered by solar, and I have a 10K lithium battery backup. We got two female Nigerian goats who are like 5 months old, and before long, we're going to see about having them bred. I think we got to wait till they're 7-8 months old before we breed them. We have a bunch of chickens. We're getting anywhere from 14 to 24 eggs a day. But right now, we're having high heat. We're right at 100 degrees with the heat index, maybe a little over 100 degrees. So we're going to talk about some of the preps that we're taking for the heat waves that we're getting. You know, luckily right now, we're not in a drought because for some reason, we're still getting decent amounts of rain. We're not nowhere near a drought stage. Everything is still green, 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 where other places are burning up, smoking up, or drying up. You know, when I say smoking up, I mean there's a load of fires on one side of the country, and then the smoke is going all the way to the other side of the country, like to New York. So this is kind of the stuff we're talking about. We're just talking about life in general and stuff that we're prepping for to have for these daily preps. And with that being said, everybody's choices and the way they do it, I'm sure, is going to be different than mine. Not everybody's going to do things like me, but there's a few. But, you know, I'm just saying, not everybody thinks the same way, but our preps list is very similar. And what we're going to discuss right off the bat, if you own ground, and you don't have to own much ground. I'm on 4 acres. That's, you know, a pretty sizable piece, but it's not huge. You know, but we have a nice pen that's got goats and chickens. You know, before long, we're looking in at getting rabbits, meat rabbits, because we'd like to have more options with our meat. You know, we have a homemade hog trap we built for catching and trapping wild hogs. You know, these wild hogs, a lot of people talk bad about them, but they're still food. You know, I don't want to have a bunch of them on hand to feed them because, yes, they are mean. They can do all kinds of things. But the beauty part of them is when you catch them at the right part of the year when it's cold, they're already fat and they're ready to go in the freezer or the smokehouse. So this is kind of the stuff we're talking about. It's how to prep for it, how to be ready for it, and how to take care of it. You know, same way. You know, in the summer months, you don't want to kill and butcher any animals just for the fact that 100 degrees. Yeah, you can do it, but if you don't have a refrigerated place to do it or have a walk-in cooler, it tends to make it a little harder. You got to take care of that animal really quick, really fast, so you don't have spoilage or rotting. And this is the kind of stuff we're talking about today. You know, we're just our gardens. We did self-wicking pots. I planted potatoes in the dirt. I'll be honest, they looked gorgeous. We didn't really get anything. I got a bowl full of potatoes out of 200 and some plants. I got 40, 50 plants. And I got a good-sized bowl. And not even a big bowl. Just a little bowl of potatoes. So, everything that's growing wildly is doing great. So, we kind of looked at our soil and stuff, and you know, we kind of got into the realization that self-wicking pots are really the way to go. And what I did, I took a 300-gallon tote a year and a half ago, we cut it in half, and of course the top half I threw away, which I kind of regret now, but the bottom half I made into a really nice self-wicking pot. Yeah, it's probably got, I'll say 6 to 8 bags of potting soil. Well, probably about 3 to 4 bags of potting soil and then a bag of 50 pounds of poop that we mixed in with the cup. So, but we've done tomatoes, onions, radishes, and now we're doing Tunisian squash in that pot. This is, you know, summer spring crop, fall crop, summer crop, spring fall crop
type scenario.
And this pot has worked really good. Everything we've harvested out of our self-wicking pots has been great. So what we're actually toying around with doing is getting about 8 more of these containers and splitting them in half and making 16 more wicking pots. You know, at 300 gallons each, bigger 150-gallon pot, 30 gallons of water at least in the bottom of it, you can harvest a lot of food off that. So if you have 16 halves, at basically 3x4 square, that's a lot of food you're growing. And not to mention, my Tunisian squash plants are already 4 foot tall or better. They're just starting to flower today. So I imagine in a couple weeks, we're gonna start seeing some growth of squash. So with as good as this box is done, we wanna do a lot more of these boxes. We would like to get in a place where we're not buying any vegetables from the store is what the overall goal is, and still have enough for our neighbors and, you know, this kind of thing, you know, because everybody kind of works together where we're at. So, you know, I would like to have, I'd like to be able to try putting potatoes in a self-wicking pot to see how they're going to do. If anybody has done potatoes in a self-wicking pot, please get a hold of me and let me know how it worked. I would love to hear from you. You know, but we're looking at potatoes, cucumbers, tomatoes. I mean, we're looking at doing kind of a wide variety of everything. We want to do spring crops and fall crops. That's a prep. And that's a good prep because we're not prepping for something that's going to theoretically expire, because we do that. We grow a garden every year. So, I mean, it's something we do. So it's something we're going to apply for, not, you know, build it, slowly work it, and hopefully by next spring we'll have 16 of these totes ready to go. We might have 4 to 5, maybe 6, 7, 8 that'll go for this year yet for our fall crop, but we're hoping for summer crop we have 16 of these things to plant. And that's one of our preps. Our second prep, like I said, we talked about, is getting wild, or getting meat rabbits. We have goats and we have chickens. We breed the goats, that is meat. We have milk at that point. We're kind of checking into some miniature cattle. We're not real sure on that yet, but we're still looking. We're looking for real food choices. You know, you can hunt so much. You can get so many wild pigs a year. You're allowed, you know, whatever the limit is for deer down here. We don't get that many deer, but, you know, if we're fortunate, we've had one or two here and there over the years, you know. Deer hunting is just, I mean, I like to go, but I mean, where we're at, there's just not a lot of deer. I mean, you see them, you see a lot of them, but you just don't see them where you're hunting. I mean, yeah, you can get them, but I've got a busy schedule. I work during the day, you know, I work here at my homestead all day long on business I take care of for the public, and then I'm taking care of the homestead, so hunting is kind of hard for me to do. Yes, I like doing it, but it's not something that I can do all the time. Yes, we like to fish. You know, we like to camp. But like when we go camping, we try to keep enough lines out. Well, we don't have to really bring food, so we just try to catch so many fish, know that we can, if we want a snack, we carry it with us, because that's really all we do is kind of munch and stuff in the evening time or whatever. If we're camping during the day, we might catch fish, or we might find a wild edible growing somewhere and cut it up and eat it with our fish. It's just kind of for living off the land type scenario. It's not for everybody, but me and my sons actually like doing this. It's not that we're trying to kill anything. I mean, we just like to live free on the land, do as we need, you know. I think it's good to instill in all your boys to learn how to hunt, fish, and I'm not saying boys, it's for boys and girls. You know, if they want to learn to hunt and fish, they need to learn how to hunt and fish. Yes, it's not for everybody, I know that, but for some people it is. For me and my family, it just happens to work. It's what we like, and it's what we do. So prepping naturally falls into that category because, you know, we cut firewood every year. You know, we have a fire pit we like to cook from. Yeah, we have a gas grill too, but we like to live to where when I cook, it's better than a restaurant. I'll be the first to admit. You know, the way I like to eat is I like to eat most healthier foods. I like to eat, you know, I like to eat clean meats. You know, I do eat store-bought meat, but it's, I'd rather eat, you know, wild pork or a piece of deer or whatever, you know, or chicken from the pen, you know, something that's fresh. I'm not telling you store-bought food's bad, because surely it's not. I mean, everybody shops for groceries, you know. But the way we do it, it saves us a lot of money a month. You know, if we grow our own foods, we have, you know, basically when we go to the store, we buy X amount of beef, because we don't have beef yet. So, like, if we want a roast or hamburger, stuff like that, we buy that kind of meat, and then we cook it. It's kind of the same way with some chickens, because we're not just jumping into our stock to butcher them. Even though this fall I plan on, because we have hens that are sitting on eggs, and we've had a few hens hatch out chickens. I think we've had 12 hatch out so far in the past couple months. You know, so, and I think we got two or three more hens that are sitting on a pile of eggs. So I'm hoping this fall we can butcher a lot of chickens and still keep our number between 25 and 30 chickens at the end of that stage, you know, because I do like to have eggs. And of course the rabbits is all about building cages, getting cages, however you do it, and it kind of works the same way. But we're trying to prep for, and it's not necessarily for a disaster or whatever happens, we're just doing it for our family's sake. The way things are going, we see what's going on. And without going into great details on how I feel about this, we want to make sure that if they do another lockdown, we're not going to have to worry about going to school. You know, I'm not saying permanently, but you know, the more you prep for something, the better off it'll be when it hits. So that's kind of where we're leaning to, you know. I've upgraded my solar system. You know, I put a 10K lithium battery on. I just love this thing. It's just, it makes life so much easier. Those of you who live off grid and you're still using the L16s or the Trojans, whatever, lead acid batteries, they work great. Those that live off grid know what I'm talking about. They know the fails, they know what they can run, they know what they can't run, this kind of thing. When you're running with lithium, it's almost like you're plugged back into the grid. Yes, there is a big price difference. But when you go with the overall cost, the lithium is so much more. For an example, with my L16s that I had power in my house, I could run my MIG tick stick machine. No problems. But the stuff you noticed was, like, if the family was in the house, remember the lights would flicker, the plants maybe flicker with the lights, you know, the sounds you hear flicker. With a lithium battery, I'm not noticing anything of that kind of sort. I mean, you might get a flicker every once in a while if you've got the amps cranked up high, but for the most part, that is gone. The time frame that you run your air conditioning in, night and day difference. We're running it twice as long as what we used to on the lead acids. It just works better. Now the downfall to the lithium is if you drain that sucker dead, it seems like it takes a little extra longer to charge. But once it's charged, it lasts way longer. We had a rough couple weeks, the first couple weeks, getting used to this particular battery. But once we got over the initial part of where it's full charged until it's dead, that was a little hard to adjust on, because when you're used to running lead acid batteries, you know what it takes to charge them. You know how long it takes to charge them. You know that the cloudy days, you're not going to use as much power as a sunny day. Well, with the lithium, once it's charged, you can pretty much use it however you want to use it. And if you're halfway careful with your voltage, even on the cloudy days, you still, it's business as usual. There's just nothing to look back on. It just goes and goes and goes. But just remember, when you finally do drain it, it's going to charge quite a bit longer than the lead acids before it's up and running. Is there ways around some of that? Yes, there is. And we're taking preps on that as we speak, but I'm getting to the point I'm wanting to eliminate a gas generator, and I'm close. I'm not 100% there yet, but I'm really, really close. And if I didn't want to run air conditioning, I would be generator free at this point. But I want to run air conditioning. So with that being said, I'm still making improvements to that part of the system for air conditioning. Sorry, I had to get a drink. Today we're drinking Powerade. And I just happen to like the grape Powerade, the purple Powerade. As hot as what it is, we've been working real hard in the sun. Just water quite don't cover it. Powerade really helps bring the electrolytes back into your body. You know? So we have Powerade. And I just finished work out in the yard, and it's probably 95 degrees outside, so I had to come in and take a cold shower just to get cool off, and I had to make me a glass of Powerade. Those of you wondering why I haven't been podcasting every week, well, I'm just going to tell you like this. We have been busy, 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 busy. I'm just finishing up a solar home for a friend of mine. They had Hurricane Laura had destroyed their home, and they put a new home in, and we're putting a big off-grid system on it. It's not going to be an off-grid home because these people don't want to live off-grid. But they want it for when the power goes out for a month again, they can keep going. And this system, basically what it's going to do, all their 120-volt items that are in their house are going to run off the solar. But their central air, hot water heater, clothes dryer, appliances, the big drawdown power appliances, air conditioning, your central air, hot water heater, electric stove, clothes dryer, that kind of thing, will be on the grid. And what happens is, when the power goes out, those four items will be the items that don't work. Well, they already have a 10K backup home generator that they're gonna hook up to the house for that. But what makes this system nice is that when the generator is running, it will also charge the batteries for the house. Now this house has got two 5K lithium batteries with a Magnum 4400 watt power inverter and a midnight controller. So this is a nice system. And I said, when the power goes out, if you don't want to run the generator, you're not going to have to. But if it's cloudy for 3-4 days, you may want to start it up, let it run for 3-4 hours, charge the batteries. This is where we're going with this. Their preps are, they want to be able to keep going during a power outage. And that's what we're doing with them. So between the work I normally do and then helping these people out with solar, we've been real busy. Volume 44 of Farm Show Magazine, we was in there for solar and a few other odds and ends. We're in the new Farm Show Magazine. I think it's episode 45. They did a story on me on smoking cheese because they like the way I did it. And Farm Show Magazine gets a big thumbs up from me because, you know, they publicize stories from DIY guys like me and other farmers who have to build stuff to make their reality come true, you know. And what I mean by that is these are people that prep just like me. Now, you can call them farmers, you can call them preppers, you can call them whatever, but these people have to build stuff to make their equipment work for whatever it is they're doing it for, just like me. And what's nice about Farm Show, they see some of these people's ideas and they post the story. And I say post a story, it's a regular magazine. And they do a really, really good job at what they're doing. They follow up, make sure it's what you like. They don't want to put nothing out there that you don't like as if you're the one they're doing the story on. They want to make sure they make you as happy as possible. And I got to be honest, these people, I've never met any of them, but these people have been great. The ones I've talked to on the phone are just the nicest group of people you ever want to talk to. So check out Farm Show Magazine. You can buy it at Tractor Supply. I don't know where all they're sold at, but I know Tractor Supply sells Farm Show Magazines, but in the northern states, they're very heavily all over. Southern states, I think you have to go to like a farm store to kind of purchase their magazines, but they're there. But you can also call them up and they'll, you know, you can buy the subscription, they'll send it to your doorstep. I mean, Farm Show, if you're going to have a catalog coming to your home or your farm or your homestead, that's really a catalog you want, because there's lots of great ideas on how to save money, how to build for something, and there's a lot of builds in there besides stuff that I do. I mean, there's stuff everybody does. So Farm Show Magazine gets a big thumbs up from me, and I really like viewing their catalog, and I've always liked their catalog. I'm going to say this right now, I liked their catalog before they publicized me on anything. They've always had a great storyline with their catalogs. But when they pick up everyday people, to me, that's what makes a good magazine, because they're getting a story from everybody that's doing something. So that's a great deal right there. But you know, we're at this magazine for smoking cheese this time. So go out, get the magazine, check it out. But there's lots of other stories in there besides what they did on there. So, but it's a good prep tool, because they have a story on pretty much anything you're interested in that magazine. So go check them out. They've got a really good content. And, we've been just really, really busy between just on the homestead, working with other people, taking care of the stuff they have. We got a Chevy Volt battery we're breaking down. We got to make it in. I think it's going to be 16 or 24 volt batteries. And we're going to be putting that on a house before much longer. And, it's just been crazy busy. So, yes, I like to do a podcast every week, every couple weeks. But here lately, it seems like it's been once a month. I'd rather have one once a month than not be able to do it all. Because I like to be able to give you guys what you're wanting to hear with the stories we're doing. And, but I'm going to tell you, the day and age we're living in, it never hurts when you go grocery shopping to spend an extra $10 to $20 on non-perishable food items. You know, we've been doing this for a long time now, and I'm not saying we have a huge pantry, because we don't. We have a big family, so we have to buy a lot of food so all of our children can eat healthy. You know, if you have space to put more in, then naturally you want to do it. But not everybody can do it. But if you spend an extra $10 a week when you get groceries, you'd be surprised in a year's time you'll have quite a bit of little extra stuff, like canned goods, you know, non-perishable stuff, you know. And when I say non-perishable, you know, like package of bacon bits, you'd be surprised how many meals you can make with a package of bacon bits. You know, pastas, you know, like macaronis, egg noodles, this kind of stuff, you can store for a very long time, and they stay good for a very long time. Rice, beans, you know, let me tell you, crap hits the fan scenario, you don't want to eat beans and rice every day. You want to eat quality, good food, and the only way to do that is to make sure you have it in your pantry so you have it later on. We buy a lot of, like, pasta sauces, stuff like that. We try to make it too, but sometimes you run across a good sale on it. It's already canned good that's sealed. So if you have 8 or 10 cans of that on your pantry shelf, you know you got a couple 3 weeks worth of pasta that you can make off and on throughout that period of time that you're having to. However often you decide to eat pasta once a week, or if you want to make a pizza, whatever, you've got sauce to do it with. Garlic. Garlic is one of those things we go through a lot of. Onions, potatoes, you know, these are all foods that if you have a cast iron pan and you got a good stove, you can whop up some killer potatoes and onions and bacon bits with cheese. You've got a really good meal. If you want to add a little sour cream to that, you even got a better meal. You know, the whole point of prepping is to have what you need without being broke. You know, you can't do it overnight, but you can do it one bite at a time, so much a day, you know, so much a week. We really try to focus on, like, we'll write stuff down on paper that we see happening, and we'll say, okay, we need to get this, this, and this. We'll just use this for example. This, this, and this may be, we'll say 25 gallons extra of gas for this month, we'll just say. So much oil for this month, per se. A roll of, we'll just say like a bottle of brake fluid or two. And the reason why I'm saying this, your vehicle, you have to prep. Not only are you prepping for your stomachs and your home, but you also got to have preps for your vehicles. And, you know, I'm a guy who naturally has a shop. I work on my own stuff. I work on a few people's stuff. But I have tire plugs. I have brake fluid. I have carburetor cleaner. I have the stuff that I use on this homestead on a daily basis. Okay? So what happens in a scenario, we'll just say a lockdown, for instance. Let's say they want to shut things down for a week because of all this crap going on. You know, I don't want to, at that particular point, I'll be real honest, I don't go to town much anyway. I try to stay in my little area. I help people who say they need a little help or whatever. I'll go to their place and help them to do a little solar or whatever. I don't mind that. But as far as going to a big town, I try not to go anyway. I'm more of a homebody. I like being on my homestead. I enjoy my homestead. And if I can pretty much live in my area, of course, we have Dollar Generals within 16 miles of us. So, I mean, it's not like there's no stores. But I like to be around my neighbors. I like to talk to my town members, you know, this kind of thing. But as far as going to a bigger town, I really don't have a desire. And, you know, I can shop local and get anything I need local, for the most part. And I don't have to go to a big town. I like to spend my money locally. So if we are shut in for some dumb reason, we can still keep going, you know. I'm not going to let a $5 bottle of brake fluid stop me from using a piece of equipment in my house. I have 8 or 10 big bottles of brake fluid. You know, I have maybe a case of carburetor cleaner in my cabinet. But here's what I'm saying. If something breaks on my homestead, I don't want to have to go somewhere, buy the parts to come home to fix it when I've already got them here. It's a small sacrifice we made, you know. Anytime we work and have just a little extra money, I try to apply it for either home preps or shop preps. Whichever prep is needed the most, then we go shopping for it. And on our case, we've been spending a lot on homestead stuff, you know, like fencing, electric fencing, fence posts, because we got chickens and we got goats. We have some hunting dogs. So we want to make sure all the animals are safe, like the goats and the chickens have got to be safe from the hunting dogs. Because all it takes is one of them to get loose, and they'll make you have a bad day. You know, I look out for my animals because my animals take care of me. So with that being said, like your hunting animals, you know, my dogs, when I know it's hunting season, whether we're going hog hunting or whatever, that's what those animals are used for. But I don't want them dogs getting hurt by no hogs, you know. We use them for their noses, or if we shoot one and we got blood and can't find it, these dogs will track, and they'll help us find our prey. And that's kind of where we're at with ours. I don't want my dogs to get attacked by hogs and get bloodied up, by no means, because they are worth way more than that. I take care of my animals just like I do with the rest of everything else that's on our homestead. As a prepper, homesteader prepper, it isn't like we're different from everybody else. We just want to make sure we have what we need, so we ain't got to go buy it, you know. Anytime you can process your own foods, whether it's growing a garden and canning your foods, or hunting and bringing in your meats, this kind of thing, that is great. Because not everybody can go out and afford to buy, we'll just say 100 pounds of beef right now. That's kind of expensive. But if it's deer season and you have a deer license and you go out and you kill you a nice doe or a buck, I know it's not beef, but it tastes really, really good and it's next to the best thing. I actually like deer meat better than I do beef, but there's not a lot of deer. But there are, but I just don't have time to go out. I can go and buy a pork at the store, but I'll be honest, the wild pork that's in the woods to me tastes much better than the stuff that's in the store. I've had people say, oh, that stuff's nasty. Apparently you ain't had it the way I cook it, because the way I cook it tastes pretty good. There's lots of, you can go to the lakes and set throw lines out, and you can bring in catfish and everything. Man, that's some good eating. But it takes a special art to do that as well. Everything has a technique for getting it. So if you're a fisherman, you know what it takes to fish. If you're a homesteader, you know what it takes to take care of your animals and the buildings and your. But when you're prepping, you kind of got to learn a little bit of everything, so you know you can eat. And it's not always about going to the store, because the store might not be open. We're looking at some really crazy times coming ahead. I'm not predicting anything of any kind, but everybody watches the news and everybody sees the same thing I'm seeing. And all I'm saying is get ready, people, because if you don't necessarily have some preps in place, and I'm not saying, we're not talking food, we're talking home, water, food, your animals, whatever the scenario is in your life, you want to make sure you have the preps for what you need for this life, because things are changing fast every day. And if you don't put it in place, you might not have it later down the road. I'm not one of these kinds of people that's saying, hey, we're prepping for this, this, and this, because it's not the thing. We prep for life. We're prepping for our lives. We're prepping for what we feel we need to prep for. I'm not getting into any particular discussions about this. We're prepping for the things that we feel we need to face what we're facing. Everybody faces different things every day. So, with that being said, you prep accordingly. So, that's where we're at. Like I said, everything's been going great. We've just been working diligently hard on everything we've been doing. And if you follow me on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, there's three big ones. I'm on MeWe as well. Check out my YouTube channel. It's Off Grid Gary. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. Hit the little notification bell. Please comment. We would love to hear from you. As same way on Facebook. Send us a message in Messenger. I'm under Gary Mall on Messenger and under Off the Grid and on Solar on Messenger. I do have a Facebook page as that, Gary Mall, and a Facebook page is Off the Grid and on Solar, like page and a group. So there's three different pages there to reach me from if you want to get in touch with me. We're not on Instagram. We're not on a lot of the other ones. I'm just telling you the big four for me is YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and me. I'm on a few other ones, but I'll be honest, some of them I'm trying to drop off of. I personally don't care for Facebook, and it's really the more the way the company's running right now. But the nice thing about Facebook, you can post a video, you can do a lot of things where a lot of people can get out and see it, and you get a lot of people that can contact you. I'm not a big fan of Facebook. Like I say, I was off it for quite a while. And the only reason it's back on is when I got a new phone. Facebook already uploaded itself to my phone, and it brought my account back. So I don't really know if you can actually kill your Facebook account. You might, but I guess if you don't post on it, don't get on it, you'll be dead. But mine came back. I was off it for, I think 9-10 months, and it came right back up to date at my last post from 9-10 months before that. So we are posting again on Facebook. YouTube, we try to upload a video every couple weeks. Sometimes it's once a week. Sometimes it's once a month. I really am trying, but it's just between life, everything, all the work, it's hard to post a video. Podcast, it's hard because you're always working and you're trying to make enough time to get off to make it to where you could hear from people. We have, like I say, we have been extremely busy, so please forgive me. I'm not trying to be mean by not posting on these podcasts on a weekly level, but, you know, we're trying to get them out there. And, everything's been good. We ain't had any problems with anything. So far, nobody's been sick. We've been doing good. We know people who have been sick. We it's just, things seem like it's kind of calming down now, even though the news say it's not. I say take your vitamin C, your vitamin D, and get a few hours of sunshine a day. Seems to work pretty good. So none of us have been sick, and that's what we've been doing. So I hope everybody out there is healthy, and don't forget to stay vigilant and keep going with your preps. Keep building your supplies up, whatever that may be for your life. We're looking at some different times coming in, I'm afraid. And as long as you're aware of what's going around your surroundings, and you can kind of work a little bit around them surroundings and prepare yourself for if something happens, if you have another shutdown or whatever, It pays to do that. So, the big thing is to keep your head on your shoulders, think things through. You know, try not to get overworked and taken in on some of this. I actually had to step back for a little bit and think about things because, to me, some of this is absolutely 100% BS, and other parts are not. And to me, it's very irritating the way I think some of them, I'm getting the idea that they're just trying to pull the wool over our eyes in a lot of cases, and I'm not going to go into details. And we got to be smart enough to see the difference. Now, let me tell you something, people. Just because somebody's telling you you got to do something and you da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da doesn't necessarily mean you got to do it. You know, if your heart tells you not to do it, then don't do it. Don't let people talk you into something that might cost you your life later on. Just think it through. You know, as Americans, this country was built on a strong foundation, And like I say, I'm not going to get into great specifics on all this, but we are free people yet. And just remember that. And we're going to go ahead and end this podcast, but I wanted to give you something to think about. And I wanted to let you know that we're all doing the same things. We're living life. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and call it a day. I want to tell everybody it was great to hear from some people. I've had a few people get a hold of me. It was really nice to meet some of these people. Think about this. You want to have what you need. And you don't necessarily want somebody telling you the way you can't live. You have life for a reason. So, with that being said, have a great day, people. We will talk to you later. I'm hoping I can start making my podcast a little sooner. And go from there. I'm not going to say we are, but we're trying. And don't forget to check us out on social media. Be my guest to come in and send us a message, or check out my YouTube videos and subscribe and give us a thumbs up. We'd love to hear from you on there as well. Have a great day. Bye.